This episode of WW Today is brought to you by Often Neverland Travel. Book your next vacation through them, and their website will knows what it is.
Go to neverland.com.
I threw you off. It wasn't the usual go to Will.
Right, yeah. I was going to say, all you got to do is pack.com. No,
now you pitch it to me now.
And as I normally say,
all you got to do is pack. Again, that's at go to neverland.com. Get your vacation. We're going to be talking Christmas and a little bit of Halloween too in this episode. If you want that vacation booked, you're procrastinating, you haven't got your plans yet, go to their website, go to neverland.com. And now, on
with the show.
With the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now, here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, September 14th, and this is episode 1530 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And Terry is gone, so we had to bring in a sub, an alternate. So, joining us today, from Disneyland, from California herself, my cousin and yours, well, not your cousin.
Yeah, that's... It's really doesn't only work your that cousin, way. Logan.
Yes. Jenny, however you want me to call you, welcome back to WDW Today. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been way too long. Way too long.
Yeah, absolutely. And stuff gets crazy at Disneyland right now. So I do want to say, for all you guys who haven't been to Disneyland or really have been to Disneyland during the holidays, it's pretty awesome. I said on Twitter last night, I got a little heat for it, that I do get kind of jealous of Disneyland, especially during Halloween and Christmas, because there's some really cool stuff that doesn't really happen. Christmas, it's similar things, but there's a difference in being at Disneyland. So I know you were out yesterday, and for all of you Disneylanders, hey, skip forward a few minutes if you don't want to hear that. Jenny's going to be on the whole show with us, though. How's it like? How's it feeling? Because Halloween's in full swing.
It's a little overwhelming, actually. I was talking to my fiance. We literally got through security and you're greeted instantly on the tram going from the parking structure to the main entrance. You're greeted with, you know, pumpkins and ghost characters and all this just on your ride there. And it's, you know, you're in mid-September,
right?
And it's like, okay, especially in California, it's still like, you know, between like 80s and sometimes 90s if you're in like direct sunlight. So it's like, okay, this does not feel like fall.
Right.
But we have to embrace it because Disney automatically says it's, you know, Halloween time. So here we are. And I think the craziest thing is the fact that one of the biggest, say, attractions that come during the holiday time is the Haunted Mansion redo with Jack Skellington and Nightmare Before Christmas. So then it's almost, you're thrown into almost Christmas time.
Right. And that stays up until the end of the year, pretty much.
Yeah, till the new year. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. For those who haven't been out there, I am super jealous. And I've seen the stuff from this year and it looks awesome. But I've gone on it maybe 3 or 4 years. It's been a couple of years now since I've been able to do the Haunted Mansion holiday out there. But as a Mansion super fan, it is something I get jealous of because it's an awesome overlay. If you're a Nightmare Before Christmas fan.
Logan's just a fan of mansions.
I'm all mansions.
All mansions.
Mansions. Yes. All, nice mansions, bad mansions. I actually have that show on Travel Channel, Bad Mansions.
Bad
Mansions? It's fine.
Joe Mansions.
Joe Mansion. So in general, though, it's they take the Haunted Mansion, strip it down. Now, there are a lot of the similar elements, and even though it's not the Haunted Mansion anymore, it kind of still ties in. Like, aren't the singing bus typically like pumpkins?
They become jack-o'-lanterns that
yeah.
sing.
Yes. I mean, there's like similar vibe to it. Like,
so it's almost completely different on
yeah.
the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, in my mind, it was just a little bit rethemed and they added a character. But during Halloween at Disneyland, it completely has changed in that ride.
Yeah. I mean,
completely.
There's some little thing. Like the dining room, the main thing is always like the gingerbread house, right?
Yes. And this year it's Sally themed.
It's Sally themed. So that and stuff changes every year, which is cool too. But it's still like that's the dining room.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, the ballroom. Other than that, though, a lot of the scenes are totally different. And Jack is in all of it.
Well, I'm a Disney World purist, so I stay away from any news of Disneyland.
And they do this like projection in the stretching room. That's just
oh, that's cool.
Crazy. It's awesome. It's so good. All right, we won't bore people too much with it. But you did it last. So the new things this year for those people that and look, I encourage you. Look, if you have time between now and New Year's to get out there. I would do it Christmas and in Halloween to some extent too. And Disneyland is just a different beast. It's a nostalgic romp. It's a lot of fun. So out there though, when you go through it, how is the mansion compared to, have you done it before? Is this your first or second year doing it?
This is my second year. Yeah, second year doing it.
And anything, the biggest news was Sally is in the ride, right?
Yes, for the first time. They, like, Sally, so one of the big things with the Haunted Mansion Holiday is when you first get on your Doom buggy, there's this big scene with, like, almost every character from Nightmare Before Christmas, right, like with Christmas presents and all that. And that's really the only place we would see Sally, which, you know, if you've seen the movies, you know Sally's a huge part of that whole thing.
Right.
And, you know, she also is seen at the end of the ride where normally the bride, the ghost bride is. But this is the first year that they added an animatronic of Sally in the graveyard looking at the animatronic of Jack. And it is amazing to see in person.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
I love Nightmare. I wish they'd bring more stuff to Disney World. And now they have him at, Jack and Sally are doing meet and greets at Not So Scary this year. And my son is pumped. I showed him. He's familiar with Nightmare. He loves the songs and he loves the characters. I haven't shown him the entire movie yet just because I think it's probably a little too creepy. Though he probably would love it, knowing him. His favorite ride is the Haunted Mansion. So he probably would love it. But we've only seen bits and pieces. I told him, I was like, buddy, you get to meet Jack Skellington. He was like, no, I can't. I said, yeah, buddy, you can. He's like, but it's a skeleton. And I explained to him because he can kind of understand. He kind of goes, yeah, it's a guy in a costume. He kind of gets it now that we don't try to like ruin it for him. He understands. But when I showed him that picture, he was like, I don't understand what I'm looking at. You could tell he was just like, how is this possible? How am I meeting this skeleton man? His meet and greet is pretty cool. Yeah. And we'll be going down to Not So Scary. Now, you have spent some time. Have you spent any Halloween time in Disney World in your previous life?
Trying to think. I don't think. No, that's the one holiday I haven't been at Disney World for.
Yeah. Well, most people have their plans set for this Halloween. We're talking about 2 months until the whole thing is over. So I don't think we'd spend that much time on Halloween, other than I have to say that Haunted Mansion Holiday is something that could come to Disney World last 2 months, be awesome. But for some reason, they've held that off for pretty much its existence. I like that it's only in LA, but it is kind of disappointing that we don't get that. But for Christmas time, there are some more things that are shared, and there are some cool things. Now, is there, like Disney World, is there any like hard ticket events that are Halloween or Christmas themed at Disneyland? Are there hard ticket events?
I know we have Not So Scary Halloween Party, and then I believe we have the Christmas party as well. I haven't been able to do it yet, just because timing doesn't work out or hasn't worked out. I think we're trying to do one of the Not So Scary Halloween parties this year, and I would like to get to the Christmas party if possible.
All right, that sounds good. Let's move to Christmas then. Let's do Disney World this time to save the people who are not Disneylanders, because we know they like to speak up. The people that don't like Disneyland or haven't been or can't go, because it is quite the haul for a lot of people in the East. What's your experience like? How do you take in Disney World during the Christmas season?
Oh man, I've done the Christmas party once, and it was such an experience. It was one of the things that I had wanted to do, never did. And then I went with my fiance's family and we all decided we wanted to go do it. And being in the park at that point where, you know, it's a lot more calmed down, there's not as many people in the park. You know, you can get your free cookies, you get the snow on Main Street. It is something else.
Yeah, I've been a couple times, and unlike Halloween, which this will be the first year, and I'm a Halloween super fan, like not just obviously not just Disney, like I love Halloween, but something about Not So Scary has always kept me from going every year. I don't know if it was just timing, I'm going down for Halloween Horror Nights, or just maybe the fact that it's more aimed at kids, I feel like, in the marketing of it, because it is a lot of, all right, every kid get their costumes on and go out to the park. And for me as an adult male without kids, I was kind of like, if it works out one day, we'll go. But it never happened. This year, obviously, we're getting to go. I'm excited about it. I'll give my full review in just a couple weeks now. But for the Christmas party, my wife and I decided to pull the trigger on it a few years ago and really enjoyed it. I know there's been a lot of talk about whether they've scaled stuff back. And here's kind of what I feel. If you're going into it blind, like you've never been to it before, it's absolutely worth it. It's a blast. The toy soldiers marching, it's everything from one of those Travel Channel specials that you watch and go, oh man, that looks like so much fun. It is. And you're right. Just the little like cookies and hot cocoa and things like that you get with the experience. Yeah, it's not much, but because it's special, it does give you that extra vibe. Now, when you leave Main Street, it doesn't necessarily have, there's areas for cookies and milk or cookies and hot cocoa. But there's not really more than that once you leave that area, but that Main Street experience is so awesome. And I encourage you guys to all check it out. I mean, I know that it's an extra expense. And if I was saying you're doing a day at Magic Kingdom and you had to only choose one, whether a party or a day, I'd still probably go with a day. But it is a lot of fun. And you do get things like, I don't know if they've announced yet whether something like the Jungle Cruise is coming back, but what they did last year, and I believe maybe the year before, was they took the Jungle Cruise, stripped it down, converted it into a lightly, I wouldn't say they stripped it down. They certainly didn't do the overlay. They do it on Imagine and made it a Halloween
theme. It's still on the website.
Or Christmas theme.
Yeah, it's on the website for Jungle Cruise this year.
Did you do the Jungle Cruise?
Oh, yeah. I did. Well, I did the Jungle Cruise in Disneyland, and both my fiance and I have to agree, because we wrote it yesterday, and we both just completely agreed that the Jingle Cruise is our personal favorite.
See, we don't mind being Christmas themed all the time.
Yeah.
No.
So what is, I've never done it. I was not down there when they were converting it because I just haven't been to Florida or California during that time recently. Or if I did, the line was just out of control at Disneyland, I feel like, when I was there the last time. So what are the, what really changes?
Everything. The the cheesy jokes change. All the animatronics have, either Christmas hats or something related. I can't remember the exact differences between the physical ride of Disneyland and Disney World.
But it's not just some Santa hats thrown on some tiki torches.
Yeah. You have in the scene, there's a scene with all the monkeys taking over the camp, and they have, it turns out that they got all the banana bread stuff. So it smells like banana bread, and the rhino who's, sticking his horn trying to get the campers up on the pole, he has a stocking over his horn, and all the local natives have ugly Christmas sweaters that, have fallen from the plane. And it's just so much fun, so clever, and it's just perfection in my eyes. Like, that is how a Christmas ride overlay should be done.
Awesome. I've not done it, so I'm going to look forward to hopefully doing it this year. Will, I don't think you've done it either, have you?
I haven't done that. I do have something maybe a little bit out of the norm to tell people that they should check out if they're down there for Christmas, and that's the Christmas Village at Celebration.
Oh, yeah.
And I hadn't done that since Celebration's existence until a few years ago, and it's really cool, and it's free. And now, I don't know if some people consider Celebration off-property. I mean, it is off-property, but it's a Disney tie-in.
Yeah.
But the Christmas Village in Celebration is in downtown Celebration. They block off the streets. It snows multiple times a night in there.
One block.
They have an ice skating rink that's like a weird linoleum kind of thing, but you can ice skate on that. So it's a really cool little festival they do that's a free event. So if it's if you're down there and you have one day of crazy Disney festivities and you want to do something that's a little less costly, maybe just check it out. It's really cool.
And we're mainly talking Magic Kingdom guys here, but there's also so much around the resort. Hotels are awesome during Christmas. Make sure to do a stop. You can see the giant gingerbread house they have over at the Grand Floridian. It's always fun. And then obviously
Disney Springs has
everywhere is done up, and it'll be done up. Look, the Christmas parties will start, I think November 7th is the first Christmas party. But after that, give it a couple more weeks and everything will be up, and full Christmas in full bloom, probably by Thanksgiving, if not earlier than that, where you'll be able to see Christmas stuff everywhere. Now, the one thing, another thing that Disneyland and Disney World share is the Candlelight Processional. Mm-hmm. And it's a little different at Disneyland because it's where it began. So a lot of people are always curious, how did this, almost presentation of the Christian gospel happen at Disney World? It still happens every year. And you have celebrity guest readers still. And you have Neil Patrick Harris or any of these people come out. Michael W. Smith comes out and reads, or Stephen Curtis Chapman reads this story. And it's a really beautiful show. If you haven't seen it, I really encourage you to figure out a way to see it, whether that's making a reservation through one of those dining packages or just getting in line, because it's spectacular. I love it. And it started by Walt, I believe, in 1957. And it's been going on for a long time now, since really the formation of Disney. It's kind of like the Carousel of Progress. It's not going to go away, because if Walt touched it, there's a good chance they'll keep it somewhere. But I love the Candlelight Processional. And obviously at Disney World, it can be found at Epcot in the little theater area. I forget the official name of that. Where all the bands play during Food and Wine. And it's totally worth it multiple times a day. They also do a gospel thing over there. And what I also like about Epcot is you get all the Santas. So they're all the nations of Santas.
Yeah.
So you have to walk around and be like, oh, here's German Santa. Here's, I'm sure there's going to be, here's Arendelle Santa.
Which is Olaf with the Santa hat.
Yeah, Olaf with the Santa hat is the same as Donald with a
sombrero. Same thing.
Yeah, it's just what do we do? Actually, I would love that if they did that. And have you done the candlelight at Disneyland?
I honestly didn't know that the candlelight was at Disneyland.
I'm going to make sure I'm right.
I never saw it like as – I don't think it's as advertised.
No.
In my opinion.
And I think it's more of a processional. Like, I know they say the candlelight processional at Disney World. At Disneyland, I think it's more like a actual – I'm going to make sure I'm actually even right. Yeah, candlelight processional. Yeah, I'll read a little bit. Disneyland's Christmas season runs from November to early January. It's a small world holiday you also have there. That's something awesome. Oh,
the best.
I did that. And I really wish, again, I wish that overlay came. All these cool overlays that we don't get. And then it's a much more limited thing at Disneyland. I don't think it even happens that many days. It happens...
It's not throughout the entire holiday season.
And I'm not sure about that. Last year, they had like a Regina, like the evil queen from Once Upon a Time. She was doing the candlelight processional, which is kind of awesome. It is, I believe, the same similar show, but it's more... it's a little bit more traditional. You can find it, watch it on YouTube. But again, I love the candlelight processional. It's probably one of my favorite things to do at Disney World during the holidays. We try to do it every year. I can't guarantee we do, just because it is the same show. And sometimes, like with the kids, it's a little harder. But it's a fun thing to do, especially if you're an adult hanging around World Showcase. Nice place to sit down, Will, during... But you have to wait in line, unless you have the dinner packages.
Yeah.
So, but for you, you can do that.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
You got nothing to say?
No.
All right. This got awkward. Well, thanks.
It did.
Unlike the not so scary, what they call it, the very Merry Christmas party, the stuff at Epcot really isn't hard ticketed events. There are stuff you can get like the like a dining package where you'll get guaranteed seats to candlelight. Or there's other events like that that happen throughout the year. There's Christmas season at all the parks, but it's not like Magic Kingdom where the park closes at 4:00. You have to buy another ticket, shut down, and then you go back in and yada, yada, yada. It gets a little annoying, a little hectic. You have to plan your days out. It's just part of the festivities that happen. And I think Epcot's probably my favorite park during the holidays, where the Magic Kingdom, I have the most pictures there, and I love being there because it is that magical glow about it. I like Epcot because, again, it has that sort of flair of there's a giant tree, and it has that flair of a little bit of education because you get to walk around the countries and see what Christmas is like around the world, which is pretty cool. And I know, guys, we're talking about Christmas here in September, but I know you're planning your vacations. You probably already have them booked. If you don't, you can go ahead and do that now with our friends at Off to Neverland. But without them, you can actually make your vacations. And there's so much going on, guys. A lot of people have asked. Now, Jenny, not to divert off of holidays, because I will bring it up, is people have asked me a lot about this nighttime parade situation, and it's affecting Disneyland as well. So let's talk a moment about that. So right now where we're at is that in a couple weeks, right after De Los Partes Fest, like the next week, the Main Street Electrical Parade goes away from Walt Disney World. And first I was like, oh, that's a bummer. I love the Magic Kingdom, and I love the Electrical Parade. And I was like, that's sad for me, but man, we're getting Paint the Night. We're going to get Paint the Night, because clearly Paint the Night was announced to leave. We're like, all right, it's going to leave. It's going to come. That didn't end up happening, or it's currently not happening. But Jenny, Paint the Night is over, right? Temporarily, yeah. Kind of. It's coming back, though.
So from my understanding, Paint the Night is not officially gone from Disneyland until New Year. It is not the nighttime parade every night, but they're bringing it back for special events. Not quite sure. I know during Halloween time, they're doing their Halloween parade, which has the Headless Horseman now starting it off. So we don't know exact dates, from my understanding, of what nights Paint the Night will return. But I've also been told one thing that might be keeping Paint the Night from Walt Disney World is the fact that some of the floats have been specifically designed to be able to go through the streets of Disneyland, and some of the sizing is different.
Yeah.
So I know, like, Mac the truck from the car scene of the parade, they said his turn radius wouldn't be able to fit at Walt Disney World.
Ah.
So
they'd have to rebuild it or come up with something else. I haven't seen Paint the Night, but it looks awesome. What my theory is, I know a lot of you guys have said this is just my fan theory, but it is my fan theory that we're not getting a nighttime parade at Disney World until at least the spring. And my thoughts of that is that's usually when they roll out the new, we'll roll out the announcements of what's coming in 2017. Close to the end of the year. But my theory is there's no need for a nighttime parade at this point. Christmas, there's the Halloween parade during, it is hard ticketed, but Halloween parade at night, Christmas parade at night, that pretty much takes up the rest of the year for multiple days. Right. So why add something new? And then the electrical parade is going out to Disneyland, returning home to Disneyland. And at that point, I feel like we may see something. I may see an announcement coming that maybe not Paint the Night, may not be Paint the Night, but something like that, something new and updated will come to Disney World when they need it, maybe in the spring or in the summer of 2017.
They want to create some buzz for it, too.
Yeah, don't just automatically announce.
It's going to get lost in the holiday announcements and everything.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. As much as it is kind of a bummer, I get it. But I'm also a little excited that there's not going to be a parade at night at Disney World, because that can be really hectic.
It's hectic, yeah.
Now, I did want to touch on something someone brought up, and I'm going to test this next week, because I know we're going a little off topic here, but one of the things that has recently been implemented, as of last week, I believe, that now your child's tickets originally at Walt Disney World, you didn't have to use fingerprint identification. What I've been told is over the last week, at the Magic Kingdom specifically, they have implemented a fingerprint technology for a three-year-old. So three and up has to use the fingerprint. Now, I'm telling you, I've heard there's major backups. I can see why. I have a three-year-old about to be four, and I'm
trying to get
imagine.
Him to figure out exactly
even
how
him to reach it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it's like you got to hold him up, and then if he doesn't hold it still enough for,
or
like,
uses the wrong finger,
right?
Sticky
it's
going to
cause a whole thing. Sticky fingers.
Yeah, you really want your hand where a bunch of three-year-olds been touching?
Exactly.
That's just a weird thing. I'm going to test that out when we're down there in a couple of weeks for De Los Puertas. But before then, you guys, it is something that I understand that clearly they don't implement these rules. I know people always say this. They don't implement these rules unless there was a problem. So clearly there was a problem with kids getting in maybe for no money or getting in on other kids' tickets. There was some sort of issue that was causing this to happen. So now we're seeing a quick switch around where now they are making kids' tickets. And I'm sure that's what it is, because there are a lot of people who would probably do that. Hey, use my kid's park hopper, use my kid's annual pass, because they don't check your ID there. Now having to do that, I get it. But someone also told me it's like your fingerprint aren't fully developed when you're a kid, so they're having issues with that as fingerprints change. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not a scientist.
I still have records of my fingerprints from when I was three, and they have not changed a bit.
I was going to say, when you were in prison.
Oh, God, no. That's not true.
That's not true. Will was not in prison.
I was not
you
three.
You ever take one of those, like, prison tours? Like, did your kid?
No.
No? Okay. Me either.
Prison, like Alcatraz?
No. Like, maybe in, like, high school?
A tour of a prison.
Like, Scared Straight?
No. I didn't go to reform school.
Did you ever tour a prison? They did that in prep school in Atlanta, right? Well, Jenny, you got to keep us updated what's going on more over on the other side of the world. And I appreciate you really chiming in. But you also are a big Walt Disney World fan, so we always can bring you in whenever Terry is gone. And look, Terry may be gone next week as well. And if he's gone, we'll give you a call back and see what else is going on. But for holidays, let's give a quick roundup. Favorite things to do. Let's stick with Disney World, Jenny. I know we'll have to say it. Let's start with Christmas, though. Favorite thing to do at Christmas during the holidays. Will, why don't you start?
I just really like going to see the lights. Just in general, just
at the parks.
At the parks, yeah. Yes. Just going to see what they've done, and
no more Osborne.
That was always a I know, but I was. You're throwing
fan.
Me off here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mainly the Magic Kingdom's lights. That was always a special thing when I lived in Orlando as a kid. We would find a time to go and make sure we could see them at some point during the holiday season.
Yeah.
Super cool. So that has a lot of family nostalgia memories there for me.
Yeah.
So I would say just, and they're spectacular, you know, millions of lights. It's crazy.
Elsa freezes the castle if they do the same thing.
Well, they got to ruin everything for me.
I actually like that because it ties, there's a story now. The castle just doesn't all of a sudden magically get frozen. Now she comes out and goes, I like story.
Fair enough.
All right, Jenny.
It has to be all the decorations. That's always my favorite part. I don't think anyone does decorations quite like Disney in general.
That's good. I'm going to go with, for my favorite thing, and again, I've done the Magic Kingdom. I've done all of them so many times, but I'm going to say candlelight. Candlelight processional is probably my favorite thing that goes on during the Christmas season. It's a beautiful show, and I don't get to go every year, so I can't say it's my must-do. My must-dos are certainly going to Main Street and meeting characters and the costumes with the kids and all of that type of stuff. I've done a Disney cruise during the Christmas season, by the way. That is awesome. And speaking of Disney cruises, Mr. Weaver is on one.
Yeah, and we got a little audio update from him sent over the miracles of the internet.
The Wi-Fi on the Disney Magic.
Yeah.
Now, Terry couldn't just go a week without being on the show. He couldn't wait and save up a story. So let's hear a little update from Terry. And then after that, I'll come back. We'll pitch to listener questions. So don't worry, Lynn's coming up soon.
Well, hey guys, as you heard, this is Terry. I am coming to you from aboard the Disney Magic, Disney Cruise Line's very first ship from right off the coast of Naples, Italy. I'm over here sailing on the Mediterranean cruise with my family, and I wanted to kind of give you guys an on-the-ground trip report since I won't be on the entire show today, but I didn't want Logan and Will to have all the fun on the show today, so I thought I'd check in with you guys and just give you kind of just a few thoughts on the Disney Magic, since it's been reimagined. I haven't been on the Disney Magic since they added the Aquadunk and Carioca's new restaurant and just a few new areas, and absolutely loving the ship. My family and I are huge fans of the classic ships, the smaller ships, just because the crew, everything just feels a little more family-like, and it's in the area. The public areas aren't nearly as crowded, but we're having a fantastic time, my family. And I got up at crazy early in the morning and flew to Toronto and ended up with almost a 12-hour layover, so we decided to go see Niagara Falls and then head to Barcelona, where the Disney Magic was awaiting us the next morning. Got to see a little of the city, taste a little of the food of Spain, and then head on board and get to experience the restaurant that I had not experienced, which was Carioca's, kind of themed around our favorite pavilion at Epcot, of course, the Mexico Pavilion, and the Three Caballeros, and Jose Carioca himself, and loving that restaurant. The new menu there is fantastic. Everyone in our family just had something they loved. It definitely made you grateful that you weren't at Parrot Cay, which if you've sailed on the classic ships before, you know that Parrot Cay, it was definitely time for it to go. And the day that we were eating was actually the day of its death on the Disney Wonder as well, because the Disney Wonder, as you know, is actually in refurb right now on its way to Spain, and they'll be replacing that with a newly themed restaurant around Tiana and Princess and the Frog and kind of the food and experience in New Orleans. So super excited on the other ship to know what's going on and getting to hear from cast members a little bit of the details of what's happening with that. And yeah, family's just had a great time. We had a great day at sea. Got to experience Marvel characters for the first time on a Disney cruise ship. Got to hang out with Spider-Man and Thor. And, of course, Captain America, who have their own section. Kind of the Avengers Training Academy in the kids' area. And, of course, we toured the kids' area as we got on board, even though we don't have kids. But my wife works with kids, and we've spent a lifetime kind of around theming things. And so we absolutely love the area. We love the addition of the Marvel characters. And we love that the characters come out for everybody to kind of experience, even that aren't in the kids' area. So we've had a great time and just an enjoyable just day at sea. I love days at sea. For those of you who are like, I don't know about a Disney cruise, but days at sea are just are the absolute most relaxing thing. There's not a whole lot going on. You're not trying to go sightsee. You're just kind of getting to enjoy the boat, go watch movies, go watch shows. And the shows that I've seen so far have been fantastic on board and the entertainment. We're just having a great cruise today. Later today, we're going to be getting off the ship and going into Naples and getting to see the Amalfi Coast area region of Italy and the Pompeii ruins. So we're super excited about getting to do that. And we have a day planned in Rome to go see the Vatican. And then lastly, on our last port north in the northern part of Italy, we're excited to go and spend the day at a winery and learn how to make pasta from real Italians. And so we're excited about that. And then we end in Villefranche in the French Riviera region of France. And we will I'll have more details on next week's trip report. But I didn't want Logan and Will just to run the whole show without me, because I know without me things are just going to get out of hand. But I wanted you guys to hear just firsthand what's going on and just the great changes that they've made to the Disney Magic. And just, you know, one of the things I think we all love about Disney more than anything else is they go out of their way to keep things new and fresh. And this ship looks like literally it came out of dry dock yesterday. And so, yeah, we'll see you guys next week. I'll be give you a little bit of a more of a trip report and then be heading to Disneyland Paris next week as well. So look forward to being back on the show in a couple weeks. But this is it. Well, back to the show with Will and Logan.
All right. Thanks to Terry. We appreciate your time, man. Thanks for cheering us on and getting us into the mood of being on a cruise ship. We're real jealous of you, and it's real nice you're out in Spain doing whatever it is you do. Enjoy your time. Right, Will?
That's right.
Yep. 2-week vacation. Right before De Los Partos. Got to plan that show
out. Sounds
like
a month-long vacation.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, Terry, we look forward to hearing his next bit. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks, guys, for having me again.
No, I know it's kind of weird and a little awkward, but hey, we do our best. When Terry's not here, we're a bunch of lost puppies. So it is what it is.
He's the glue that binds this show together.
That's what he says, at least. Let's head over, though. We'll be back in just a bit with listener questions with Lynn. And when we come back, weirdly, Derry Weaver returns from his trip briefly to do listener questions
with us. Magic of audio.
Exactly.
Folks.
All right. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are under 20 days away from De Las Puertas Magic Media Music Fest, and tickets are still on sale, still available, and we want you to be there. See us, talk to us, be a part of the show, see Off Kilter, see Mulch, see all these great bands. You've heard us talking about it for months. It's September 30th at the Claremont Performing Arts Center. Sell out the show for us. I'll quit talking about it. I'll quit doing ad reads for it. So again, September 30th, that's under 20 days away. We want to see you guys all there. The website is dlpfest.com. You've heard us talk about it. It's going to be a great time. All your favorite Disney World bands, one night only. First time they've ever shared the stage. It's going to be a blast. Again, dlpfest.com. We're going to be doing live podcast recording all night long. You're going to meet so many great people that you've loved or follow on Twitter or Facebook. Again, dlpfest.com. And now, back to the show.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, Terry.
All right. Here's Patrick. When rope drop happens, how many people are in the Magic Kingdom in the first 15 minutes? 1,000? 5,000? 10,000? I know there are variables about people who got in under special circumstances, but with all things being equal, how many people are in there? Do they all go to headliners? What's the best under-the-radar ride, maybe a semi-popular one with a low capacity and a short ride time to go to at rope drop?
Hey, Lynn, you hacked into their old turnstile counters yet? Figured out the total number?
On the advice of my lawyer, I declined to answer the question. You know, so we've put people we put people on the Magic Kingdom and tried to count. Here's the Disney has actually shared this number with us. When they offer morning extra magic hours, fewer than 25% of the people who are eligible to take advantage of extra magic hours, take advantage of extra magic hours. Yeah. So if you figure that an average day in the Magic Kingdom is run 56,000 people, and maybe 20,000 of them or 50,000 of them are available to take advantage of that, that means fewer than 10,000 are available. And that sounds about right. I mean, you can actually see the number of people who are at the park turnstiles when it opens, and you're looking at maybe a couple thousand, you know, right at 9 o'clock.
Right.
I don't think the number is. I don't think the number of people on hand at opening is more than 10,000. I would be mildly surprised if it's more than 5,000. The attraction that I would do, though, there are two attractions that I would say are really good to get out of the way very, very early in the morning, especially if you have a fast pass for a headliner. And those would be things like Buzz Lightyear, because you can get through it in like 3 minutes and right. Walk onto it. The other one that I really like is Winnie the Pooh.
What up, Peter Pan?
It actually has a fairly long line. People will kind of go to that right. First thing, but it would be in that list. Like the reason why
I've Peter Pan fast passed rope drop and we got out of it. It was a 45 minute wait. Now I'm thinking about it. That's crazy.
Peter Pan is actually the attraction that we recommend fast pass for the most at the Magic Kingdom because
makes sense.
It's hard to get.
Yeah.
I mean, typically you're going somewhere else, right? You're going Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You're going Space Mountain.
Right.
So Peter Pan. So for that reason, I would say, you know, you wouldn't want to waste a fast pass on Winnie the Pooh, and you would not also make that your first attraction. So that's something where you can fit it in. Same thing with Buzz. You know, if you can't get to it first thing in the morning, you can always go to it later in the evening and try that. But, you know, if you're on your way to Space Mountain and there's no one there and you've got a fast pass for Space Mountain, you know, just duck in because it'll save you a backtrack to Tomorrowland later on in the day.
Right. All right.
Nice. Next up, we got Sarah. I know there are height limits on some rides. With the Barnstormer being the, quote, shortest, what rides are the next, quote, tier up?
Let's see. Barnstormer, what is the height? It's is it 30, 37, 30, what is it? I'm going to find out. 35 inches. 35 inches for the Barnstormer. So I guess the next step up would be 40.
Yeah,
and 40 unlocks a lot.
Yeah, 40 definitely unlocks quite a bit.
Yeah, so for 40, let's say, is there anything in between that 35 and 40 range before we get to 40?
There might be a 38. Let me check.
All right. While you're doing that, I'll tell you 40. 40 unlocks your Star Tours. It unlocks your Tower of Terror. A lot of those rides that you honestly check.
Soarin's 40, right?
Soarin.
Yeah.
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is 38. Tomorrowland Speedway is 32 to ride.
Alone.
And then Space Mountain is 44.
Yeah. So 44 is there is your next big jump, and then at Magic Kingdom, then 40 though does get you. If you check, you'd be surprised what attractions. Like I was surprised that my not even 4-year-old could do Tower of Terror now. You know, technically he didn't want to, but he could. He could do Splash. He could do, like I said, Star Tours, all these things. Over at Universal can do a lot of those rides too. Can now do Transformers and Spider-Man and I think even maybe Escape from Gringotts. One of the Potter attractions. Not yet. It's not Forbidden Journey, but I think he can do Escape from Gringotts 40 or 42. So there's actually a lot of when we hit that 40, it was a breath of fresh air. And now that my son is now like 41 and a half, where they don't question him every time. They do question him, but it's not like that sense of, oh God, is he wearing the right shoes? Like, you know, there's not that moment. It's nice. So, you know, other than that, you're kind of golden. I'm not sure what is Big Thunder? Probably.
Thunder is 40 inches. So Space Mountain is 44 over in Epcot. Mission Space is 44. Test Track and Soarin' are both 40.
Yeah.
Some of All Thrills, 48. Yeah. Because you could go upside down.
But it's gone.
Same thing with.
Or is it about to be gone?
Well, soon. Yeah. And then Primeval World is also 48 inches.
Yeah, I noticed that because I was going to take him on Primeval World because I was like, oh, this is kind of a. It's not intense roller coaster, really. It makes you sick, but it's not, flips and things. But they're like, nope, can't sell us to grow an extra 8 inches. So it's like, oh, well, he's not even going to enjoy it by that time.
And I think Tomorrowland Speedway to drive alone is 52 inches.
Yeah, they really make sure you're kind of halfway
grown. You have to actually have a license, yeah.
Yeah. And if you're 52 inches and you're on Tomorrowland Speedway, what's going on?
Hey, I like the ride.
Sure. I love riding with my son.
I would use it as an excuse to ride. I would use old Riker.
You could use a Riker. That's fine. Because it's so hot.
I guess I haven't ridden it in a long time.
I have ridden it a lot. A lot in a short period of time. And it smells horrible. Is it
like an animal safari mixed in with it?
Now it just smells like go-kart gas.
Oh, nice. Well, I like that smell.
Yeah, I'm making a candle of that, is what I've heard. Right?
Yeah. Go-kart gas.
All right. So, Circa 55, you better do that. An Autopia candle. All right. Am I next?
Yeah.
All right. Michelle Roth says, we're going for our first time as two adults with a toddler. For the bigger rides that we want to ride with single rider lines, is it a better idea to fast pass them or do the single rider? I also heard that it's possible to essentially double up fast passes with child swap, meaning you only have to have one fast pass for one of the adults. Get a child swap pass, and then the other adult is able to go on without having to use up a fast pass. Is this true? So a couple questions here. First, better to do fast pass or single rider? Len? Probably depends on the attraction.
It depends on the attraction. Yeah. And really, I would normally say fast pass, but, you know, we've all seen instances where those fast pass lines get really backed up.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, you know, use your eyes before you walk in. Like Test Track will actually tell you what the single rider wait is. If the single rider wait is 5 minutes, then I would not use fast pass because, you know, typically what's going to happen is your fast pass wait, your wait with fast pass is going to be about 20%. Or 1/5 of the posted wait time. So if the posted wait at Test Track is 80 minutes, then you'll probably wait around 15 or 16. If the single rider line is 5 minutes, get the single rider line.
Right.
All right. So the other question was that doubling up fast passes with child swap. I'm not sure.
I understand the idea. I don't know how it's possible because both of you would need to have fast passes to get in the fast pass line.
You have to ding in.
To meet the cast member that would do the swap for you.
All right. Well, let us know how that goes.
Yeah.
All right, Terry, you are up.
Yeah. So this question came to me directly, and they had mentioned it in a Facebook group, and I was like, hey, if you ask a more detailed question, we'd love to get it on the show. So Jason Rogers asked, late night eats can be impossible to find at WDW. After a long night at the Magic Kingdom, drinking at Trader Sam's or sipping around Disney Springs, I'm hungry for something other than muffins and flatbreads. Captain Cook's is open all night, but they stop serving hot food before midnight. The bars on property stop serving food at 10, I believe, and most Disney Springs eateries stop by 11. What are your suggestions for grabbing a late night food in parks at the resorts or even off property?
Hop in an Uber, get them to take you to Waffle House.
Waffle House is a good go-to.
Yeah.
On 192, right? There's a Waffle House
There's a Waffle House everywhere.
There's one off of 535. Super right, enough. Yeah.
Not on the dining plan.
Not on the
dining plan. He said or off property.
It's a better deal than the dining plan.
Let's be honest. Yeah, you're walking out of there for cheap.
Yeah, right by the Waffle House, I also like Flipper's Pizza. pizzeria, and I think they deliver as well.
Mm. Yeah, oh yeah, delivery pizza is a good call.
Yeah, and especially when it's not Disney pizza, which I think is terrible. On 535, I'm blanking on the name of it, but there's a Mexican restaurant that's actually pretty good too. It's family owned as well. Go out of Crossroads, make a left. I'll shout out the name at an inopportune moment.
Yeah. You got Perkins.
Logan's favorite.
Yeah.
If you're up for a
Denny's, but
it's like
little
a step
bit worse.
Up from the Waffle House. It's a step down from Denny's.
It's between Denny's and Waffle House.
Do you like Perkins more than like a Black Angus?
Logan
has a special affinity for
Perkins. I spent a lot of time in Perkins in my youth during my college years. So
when Logan was in school, it was borderline illegal what they did. Like they made him go to school all night long.
Yeah.
In college, in film school.
Yeah.
So he'd have classes that started at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, so it'd be like he'd have dinner at midnight at Perkins.
Or we all of us would end up there at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
After class. So
true story.
Terry's shocked. Yeah. Full sale. I don't know if they still do it. 24-hour classes.
Wow.
In 4-hour intervals. So my favorite class was 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. That was my favorite. But then there was 1 to 5, 5 to 9, 9 to 5.
There's a 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. class.
Yep. A lab. So you go and do video editing from 1 to 5.
Some of the edits are fantastic.
But that was the second worst. 5 was the worst. 5 was miserable.
Nobody wants that one.
5, 9. And then one day in your time, you had a 24-hour day. So I remember ending up at Perkins that day. And I met Billy Gunn, the WWE wrestler that day at the Perkins.
I mean, good for
there.
Full sale for preparing people for like, real life in the film industry.
For real.
Are you sure you just didn't get hazed?
I don't know if they still do it. Like it was,
like I said, it's probably not legal.
It was great though because it did teach people like, look, you're going to be working at crazy hours
on film shoots.
It was awesome.
The bookstore sells horse tranquilizers, don't they? Just to keep you up, don't they?
Oh, it was worse than that. not for me, but for everyone else. All right.
So late night eats, is there anything on property that we're missing for Jason?
Anything at the boardwalk or anything?
Can you get like late night room service?
A lot of
they have a late night menu. I mean, that's going to cost you your firstborn. But
a lot of times the room service is tied to the table service. It's the same menu of like your poly room service is basically Kona.
Right. But
they have something 11 to 11.
Yeah. I'm just talking about late night menu. So most hotels
that have
room service.
A grilled cheese, a cheeseburger, a salad.
Right. You can pick something up.
Yeah. I mean, those are the ones that I would go with.
All right. Well, hopefully that answered it. I think so. Go to Perkins. Tell us what you think. Get yourself a country club melt. All right, let's see if we can do these in yes or no real quick then, Len, because this guy asked a crazy amount of questions. And let's see if we do this. All right, so many questions for a trip coming up. This is from Scott. Going at Thanksgiving with a 5-year-old, 18-month-old. So let's see if we can answer this. How to maximize all the Star Wars for the 5-year-old? Spend your day in Hollywood Studios in your evening. It obviously
and do the dessert party.
And do dessert party. It's worth it for that. Beer Garden or La Hacienda for dinner before Illuminations?
La Hacienda.
Beer Garden.
With a kid, Beer Garden.
I'll go. I actually haven't been so long in Beer Garden that I don't know. So I'll pass on that one for me. But you heard what Lynn said. Mom and dad get one night away from kids after early dinner at Ohana. Where do we go? What do we do?
Go to Boardwalk.
Boardwalk?
Go downstairs to Trader Sam's.
Lynn?
Where are they staying? They're at the Poly?
They're at the Ohana.
Yeah, they're eating dinner at Ohana, and then they have a night out.
Ooh, you can try the bar at Citrico's or Top of the World Lounge at the Contemporary. This way you don't have to drive to any of those.
Very good. Do the monorail crawl. All right. I like that. Yeah, monorail crawl as well. I'll pick. Liberty Tree or Skipper Canteen for lunch?
Skipper Canteen.
Second.
Liberty Tree.
Liberty Tree.
Better bang for the buck. Best viewing spot for Star Wars fireworks. We covered that already. You got to be right down on Hollywood Boulevard. No choice. Better value, Very Merry Christmas Party or Star Wars Dessert Party? Ooh.
I'm going to say get a piece of pie at Perkins and watch it in your room.
What? All right.
Yeah, I think Christmas Party is a better value.
Christmas Party is definitely a better value, but if you really want a great spot and you don't want to wait, do the Dessert Party. Just trust me. Didn't really care, but the spot was awesome. But Christmas Party is all night amazing.
All right, last one. Berlin.
For Lynn, the time we are traveling has seen crowd calendars bump from 2 to 3 points across the board. Attendance has been down recently. What gives?
Yeah, so we actually answered this in a blog post. A couple of interesting things. One, the posted wait time and the actual wait times are more far apart this year than last year. So the wait times are even more inflated, and the crowd calendar is actually based on the posted wait times, not the actual wait times. Second thing is that there was a little bit of a lull after the tragic events in June
right.
in Walt Disney World. But as you guys saw, like in the last 10 days, Disney's slowly announcing
lots of things.
Lots of sales.
Lots of things to supplement that.
Yeah, and we expect that to happen throughout the fall. So we expect attendance numbers to bounce back up. So it's those two things.
And I will say this about attendance. As far as DVC goes, it's almost impossible to get more than a couple of nights through the end of the year. So I'm,
That's the interesting thing. We've seen the DVC availability calendar, and as far as we can see, it is above 90% occupancy, and it probably averages around 95% occupancy every day.
All right. Thank you, Len. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys.
See you. Bye. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Off to Neverland, a great vacation planner. If you want to be part of them, if you want to get your vacation booked, all you got to do is go to neverland.com. Also, a special thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. And if you want to see them, go to dlpfest.com and join us September 30th. That's out at the Claremont Performing Arts Center. It's going to be an awesome night of magic, media, and music, and you're going to love it. Get all the information and tickets right now at dlpfest.com. Will, I think that's going to do it for today's show.
I believe so.
I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
That was Terry Weaver. That was Jen, Disneyland Jen. Follow her on Twitter at Disneyland Jen, and we will talk to you on the next show.